Just 5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And yeah, we're jumping into some NBA talk here. Chris Dempsey, it's been a little while, Chris. Man, we were going crazy with so much NBA talk there for a while, but as it happens, we hit a little slow point. Now we're starting to ramp things back up.
Yeah, we really are. With the NBA and the Players Association coming to the agreement officially on the start of next season, which is going to be December 22nd. That's a Tuesday. The reason why that's going to be the start of the season is because that will be a TNT game, and it'll be the ring game. Excuse me. The Lakers will get their championship rings on that night. It'll probably be the only game of the night, or maybe one of two. And then the rest of the league, my guess, is going to start on Christmas Day. And then so you'll have the 22nd, you have a couple of days off, one of them being Christmas Eve, and then you'll have Christmas Day games, and then boom, you're in it for 72 more games.
What does it look like, Chris, as far as the end dates? You know, I'm just kind of looking back. What typical season, you know, well before 2020, playoffs start in April. What do you think, what's that going to look like when playoffs would look to start?
So in this scenario, I believe the playoffs start in May and end by July. Is it July? Yes, that's two-month playoff period. But you're right, yeah. So normally it would be playoffs started mid to late April and then end in June. So, and then they would have the draft at the end of the month in June. So, they're busily getting the calendar back to where they want it. And, you know, so next season, so I'm talking about the 21-22 season, I would expect would start, pandemic willing and everything else, getting back to normal. That season would start again in October and it would be the full 82 games that would end, you know, as we know it in April and with the playoffs. So this year, it's just going to be about a month later for all that stuff. But, for them, the biggest, for the NBA, the one of the biggest, accomplishments they wanted to have was to not play any games against the Olympics. And so with this schedule, they will not.
Wow. Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you too, is if this works out, man, I mean, if, you know, I don't know about fans and all that, obviously that's still down the road. But if this works out, you know, you like it, ratings are great in the summer. Is that not even a thought though, that this would be the norm for them to start in December? Or you, like you said, they're pretty much trying to get back on track to being a regular schedule.
Yeah. You know, I think the one thing that to me was pretty crystal clear with, you know, a few weeks ago, with this push to start in December, was that they wanted to get their calendar back to, you know, their business calendar is basically July to June, something like that. And so you want, the NBA wanted to get back to that, you know, no matter what the talk was in terms of, you know, maybe experimenting with some other, you know, maybe some shifts in the calendar, maybe get away from some football games. That's clearly just not the case. And it's my opinion that I would believe that that subject will be moot point now. I mean, I don't think it'll be brought up in a meaningful way ever again, given what we're seeing right now. I mean, you could turn the calendar to what you want it to be right now because you're being forced to do that. But if that's not something that you want to do, and if even just 2 weeks of Olympics, which would probably coincide, if the players got their way and got the season to start in January, that would coincide with, I believe, the conference finals. If that's it's such a huge deterrent to you, then, you know, there's nothing that's going to get you back. I mean, you're not going to walk down this road in a meaningful way ever again. So I would think that the NBA is locked in with, you know, the schedule as we know it, 82 games starting in October, ending in April. And then, you know, you have playoffs and summer league and everything after that. So this is a step in terms of getting them back on that calendar. And then the following summer, I would just guess that would be, them getting exactly back to what we've always known the NBA calendar to be.
Has it come up about fans? Obviously, with the vaccine, that's big news, but that could still be several weeks, months before that's really out to the majority of the public, right? So is that something that they're just, you know what, we're going to wait and see? Are there decisions being made? Maybe that first month we're going to say no to it? Or is that more of, you know, we kind of want to see where this vaccine takes us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a wait and see. You know, the news is good on that front, but as you just mentioned, I mean, there's a lot of hurdles to get over. One of them is getting it out to everybody. And, I would, if I was a fan, I would be ready for at least half the season being played with no fans in the stands. That's, to me, the early, and that's the, that's being the most optimistic I probably can be about that. I mean, this, the majority of the season is probably going to be played without fans in the stands. But, you know, also you're going to have different cities doing different things, you know, depending on what the COVID cases look like in their areas. So, you know, if things are looking good in Denver, maybe there's a point in time where, let's call it, let's Pepsi Center, 17,000 fans, so let's call it about a third of that. So, about 5,000-6,000 fans in the Pepsi Center at some point in time. I don't know, you know, but, you know, again, that obviously stems everywhere we go on the COVID cases, and are they going up? Are they spiking? What's the city saying in terms of mass gatherings? Can you have more than 50 people in a place? Can you, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, it will vary from city to city, but certainly, nothing the way we used to see it and the way we used to know it, I would think the majority, if not all, the season.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, I wonder what that's going to look like. You know, we talk about load management a lot the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. What's that going to look like with those, you know, final four teams? Obviously, the Nuggets would be kind of thrown in there. Do you see, you know, Nikola Jokic? Maybe he's not starting out the season like we would normally expect. Do you, guys like Jamal Murray, do you see that being a little bit of a delay or taking a bit of time for these guys to get back in the groove, so to speak?
Yeah, I think they will. They haven't said this on the record, but I think that they will, you know, from what we've seen out of them in the past, their ability to go 12 deep on that bench, affords them the opportunity to hold the minutes down for those guys. So if you don't want to play Nikola Jokic 35 minutes a game, if you want to get him around 28, 29 minutes a game for, let's call it, the first month or so of the season, then you can do that. You know, you have the depth on your roster to be able to do that. If you wanted to do that from Jamal Murray as well, or whoever else, you can do that as well. And, you know, honestly, that would give them a chance to get Michael Porter Jr. on the court for longer stretches and maybe even Bol Bol on the court in a meaningful way. There are avenues for the Nuggets to be able to, let their stars take it easy, or ease their way, I should say, into the regular season without just going gung-ho. But I will say this, you know, in one of the exit interviews, the current general manager, Calvin Booth, was asked, what would it take for the Nuggets to get back to at least the Western Conference Finals next year? And his response was, he thinks that they would have to have one of the top two seeds in the conference to have the best, most realistic chance of getting that far, at least that far again. If that's the case, then obviously then every game counts. And, you can't give away games early in the season because you're resting guys in a way that maybe you wouldn't have before. So, you know, they're going to have to balance all of that stuff with how good they are, with how their stars feel, with it only being a 72-game season instead of an 82-game season. I think that matters as well. And when you're talking about load management and how much of that you really want to do. But I would expect a little bit of that at least from the Nuggets.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And like you said, if that's the true goal, that first, second seed, then 72 games, yeah, even 82 games, you're still really focused on getting every single win possible at that stage. So it'll be interesting to see how they work that. You talked about it. What do the Nuggets have to do to get to that next level? We keep seeing this increase every single year, but now with free agency and the draft, all that lumped in next week is going to be crazy, Chris. It's going to be fun. But what are you looking at? Let's talk about the draft first. Interesting spot for the Nuggets, right? They're not in that spot where they're going to get a game changer overnight, but a guy that maybe a bit of a project for a year or two. Who are you targeting, at least a couple of names?
Yeah, well, it's a good question because I think this draft, there's really no pressure for them to do any one thing. So, you know, if the Nuggets wanted to take a flyer on a player, I know Tim Connelly likes to use the term, what does he call them? Not long term, but basically saying long term project down the road, player development project. that you're looking at down the road being a factor on your basketball team. I think they could totally do that with this pick this year because of what they have currently on their team already. You know, you're talking about a team that just needs maybe a tweak or two to get it from one level to the next, and that level isn't with a player coming out of the draft. I promise you that. It's especially not at number 22. So yeah. If they're going to draft somebody there, then you can develop that player, or you can, you know, package the pick and with some other assets and trade and maybe get you a veteran from another team that you do feel like can come in and help impact you and get you from you know, one level Western Conference Finals to the NBA Finals. And so I think the beauty of it for the Nuggets is that they could go either way. And you know, there's a couple of names that, you know, what do they feel like they need the most? I do like a player by the name of Sadiq Bey, and he was a really 6'8", kind of a shooting wing from Villanova. I mean, this guy hit 45% from the three-point line, and just a catch and shoot. He hit like 53% unguarded, 48%, 49% guarded. He really is the kind of player that when I look back at the Nuggets playoff run, and you know, some of the stretches where the defense is really honed in on Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and you know, at stretches ignored the shooters, you know, out there, you know, along the 3-point line. Maybe you need a guy like that just to, okay, you want to pack the defense into the paint. Let's kick it out to a guy who's most definitely going to knock in a 3-point shot and now loosen things back up so that your stars can operate in space and operate with a little bit more space on the court. So a player like that, I think is good. If you're looking for an energy player, Precious Achiuwa out of Memphis is kind of that guy. He just really... you know, he's kind of like a bigger version of Kenneth Faried in terms of running the court and you know, finishing with dunks. But he's a little bit better in terms of he can handle the ball and can do some extra things that Kenneth couldn't do, especially coming out of college. But you know, I think these players would either be rotation players or a flyer. And you know, so you know, it'll be interesting to see where the Nuggets. You know, what they feel like they need and what they do with that pick number 22 when the draft comes.
Yeah, that's interesting. As you mentioned, Precious Achiuwa, you know, like a Kenneth Faried style. Obviously, Faried, you know, in his prime, it would have been really cool to see a Faried-type player with this current group. And obviously, it just didn't work out. But yeah, that would be intriguing to me, too. And of course, there's still so many questions around the free agency side of things next week. You know, what happens with Plumlee, Paul Millsap, and Jeremy Grant? Too. I mean, there's still a lot of questions on the kind of, I guess, you don't really call it the current roster, but guys that were on the roster last season.
Yeah, big time questions. And, you know, now that we know the salary cap and the luxury tax, 109 for the salary cap, 132 for the luxury tax, you know, how do the Nuggets fit those guys in? And, you know, and who do they prioritize? And, you know, I think we all know that they are going to immediately just really try to get into Jeremy Grant and get him re-signed. They're only going to have a couple of days to do that, right? So you're talking about the draft happening on November 18th. 2 days later, you can start negotiating with free agents. So that's 20th. 2 days after that, you can start signing them. And that's how fast, as you talked about this earlier in this segment, how fast out it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be lightning fast. And so, you know, I would expect that, you know, they've already let him know that you know, they would like him back. Now, can they make the numbers work? We'll see. And then beyond that, I think it's going to be really, really interesting, Brady, because, you know, you have players. Obviously, Paul Millsap's contract is up. Mason Plumlee's contract is up. Torrey Craig's contract is restricted free agent. So, I mean, you could match anything that he got from anywhere else. So they could slow roll that for relatively speaking in this year. They could slow roll that a little bit. So, there are decisions to be made, and then you have to convert the contract of Bol Bol from a two-way contract to a standard contract. Are they going to do that? I think they will, but what does that look like as well? And so how do you fit all these pieces in? Monte Morris is extension eligible. I think they will do that, but they don't have to do that in this period of time. They can do that in the middle of the season at any point in time with him. So I would expect that to see that happen in the middle of the season at some point. So a lot of financials with them, and a lot of projections, and a lot of who do we want on the court and who do we think can help us get from the one level to the next. I am very, very interested to see how that plays out, because it'll give us a lot of clarity about what they feel about their roster and who they feel is going to develop quick enough for their window, which is really open right now to getting to an NBA Finals.
Chris, I know I ask you this all the time, and who knows what it might change, but, you know, big names as far as trades potentially. Drew Holiday keeps popping up, but that's that interesting debate, though. All those guys you just mentioned, there's part of me, Chris, that looks at it and says, man, a lot of those guys are so young. Give them another year, and who knows? Maybe that you just need to, maybe you need some of these guys just to grow. Bol Bol, in particular, maybe he grows and becomes more of a player on this team. Or do you try to fast-track it, load up, and see what you can get? Drew Holiday, I know his name's coming up with a lot of teams, but certainly with the Nuggets, too.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think one of the interesting things. It's, you know, you've got your roster to a space where you can continue to develop players. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you still have got two of your best, Michael Porter Jr. and Mike Porter Jr. just started playing last season. And Bol Bol was only afforded the opportunity to play because the season paused for so very long that he actually got healthy enough to play, and he's going to be classified as a rookie next season. So you still have two big-time talents that you could develop, or you could, you would have to package, you know, a big-time talent up, you know, to get a guy like Drew Holiday, I'm just not super sure where you play him. Jamal Murray being the point guard and the primary ball handler, Monte Morris being on your team, I mean, do you slide him to the two? I don't think he played very much of that in New Orleans. So it would be interesting to see how that would play out, just from a basketball fit standpoint on this particular, the way the roster is constructed or the way it could be constructed if he was on it. So, honestly, I don't think that's going to be a thing with the Nuggets in terms of Drew Holiday. Stranger things have happened. We'll see. I mean, Victor Oladipo's name has been out there as well.
Yeah.
Or do the Nuggets think, where do they think that they need the most help is the question. You know, and I'm not so sure that answer is not the front court and not the back court.
Yeah, and you're right. There's just so many, because when you look at it again, the Nuggets were without Will Barton in that Lakers series, and some fans wonder, okay, how would that have been enough? Would that have been the piece to get him over the hump? And maybe so. But I also a guy I keep bringing up, and that's Bol Bol. I don't know that he's the savior by any means, but. Could he take that leap from last year to this year? And because I remember, Chris, you and I talking about the bubble when we first got in that bubble, MPJ and Bol Bol, I mean, the talk. And then, of course, Bol Bol came back down to earth. But I'm curious to see what the Nuggets really think of him as far as next season, or maybe that's another year down the road.
Well, maybe you can use a guy like that next season. And, Bol Bol doesn't have to play 25 to 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
You know, he can be 15 to 20 minutes. And in those 15 to 20 minutes, you've got a 7'2" player that can run the court, that can catch and shoot a three, that can block any shot that's around in his general vicinity on the defensive end. And how, if you're the Nuggets, how could you not use that, For him, it's obviously about getting strength. It's about continuing. He needs the court time, though. It was difficult for the Nuggets to play him in high-pressure situations last year in the playoffs because you make mistakes there, and that could cost you games, and that could cost you series. Okay, but that pressure is not on early in the season, early in the basketball season. You can get him out there, get him some experience so that when you get into those high-pressure situations, he knows how to handle himself a little bit more, and he can help you. And so I think that what we saw from Bol Bol suggests nothing more than this guy is could have a potential huge impact on games. And when you're talking about a team that needed more scoring, Bol Bol had one game where he was in the high teens or 20s in his point total. If he is able to pop that in, and Michael Porter Jr. is able to pop those in, and then Jamal and Nikola Jokic are putting that on the board every single night, now you got four real legit threats for 20 points per night. And I didn't even mention Will Barton. And so, it's the more, to me, the more guys that can be threats to score, you know, big time points, big time, I put big time production, the better y'all feel be. The more you have a team that might be good, but has threats that the other, that the opposition can look at and go, it's okay, we'll live with this player shooting, or we'll live with these three players shooting, then you have a ceiling on how good that you can be. And so for the Nuggets, you know, they have the talent, they have the players that can pop in really big games. So now, but two of them are really young, and so you're going to have to, like, get them that experience so that they can, you know, get in the groove and having been able to see everything, or at least a lot of stuff, so that they aren't easily taken out of games. Michael Porter Jr. is obviously farther along because he was able to play a little bit more, but you can get Bol Bol there for sure, at least most of the way there in 72 games.
I'm excited, man. I can't wait. We're not that far away from talking regular season basketball again.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I've enjoyed your breakdowns of what the Nuggets might do in the draft, too, so I know fans can listen and follow you, of course, on your Twitter and Altitude TV. I love it. Your preview breakdowns, I love it. Great work from you, as always.
Well, I appreciate it. We have about, let's see, what it was, two or three, I think, are done. So we have about 7 more of those to go. So we'll roll those out one at a time until the leading up to draft day.
I'm learning. I'm always learn something new from you, my friend. Chris, appreciate you. We'll talk to you next, maybe next week. Yeah, we probably should reach out to you next week if you're not totally slammed.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll be sitting right here doing nothing.
All right, my friend. Right. Always good to talk to you.
All right, we'll see you.
That's Chris Dempsey. Yeah, next week might be a little crazy. With free agency and the NBA draft. And the Nuggets are in that interesting spot where, do you blame them if they stand pat? Do you blame them if they get aggressive and go for a Jrue Holiday? I think they could go either way, but really it depends on player growth, because Golden State's coming back. Clippers are going to probably be better. Mavericks are going to be better. Lakers aren't going anywhere. So, yeah, last season you could take that and go, all right, this is okay. But you got a lot more teams now in the mix. 27 minutes after the hour, we got to take a quick break, Colfax. We just absolutely chomped on that clock. Ridiculous, man. It's like Jameis Winston eating W's. We're eating time here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance. Tonight at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're going to reload this Top Text Tuesday, Colfax. I normally don't schedule interviews on a Top Text Tuesday. I try to stay away from it, or I do something short. But in this case, I mean, we got to talk to a Hall of Famer. A Hall of Famer in Brian Urlacher. If you missed that interview, we're going to have that. Our big segment of the week will be available for you. And then, of course, we got to get the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Dempsey on with all the NBA news that's coming out. I mean, I could listen to Chris talk basketball all day. I mean, his draft prospects, I'm very interested in what he has to say, so follow him. But no, we're going to reload this. McLean, I'm looking at you right now, because let me get my the official stat sheet of Top Text Tuesday that I wrote on an old live read sheet, and I just wrote it very, very quickly. Inquiring Mind has won. McLean has won. You got the first one in this contest. I thought you were going to take this thing. Sir Charles has 2. I don't think he's ever won a Top Text Tuesday contest, as we're getting to it. Dixon has 2. Ken Bone got in the mix. Pillow Fight Dan has 2. So, we have 3 guys, 3 hooligans that could take the Denver Nuggets gift package with a Nikola Jokic hoodie in the bag and a bunch of Nuggets memorabilia. But you got to bring it. Dixon says, whole show gets a Hall of Famer Urlacher on the show. Got me fired up, crushed a whole bag of pork rinds, then headbutted the dog. Let's go, baby. I like that. I do like that. Hey, you want something else that's going to pump you up? Colfax, you've been to Red Wing. You've been to Red Wing Shoes.
I'm wearing mine right now.
I normally wear mine But I'm wearing just nice shoes today. I normally wear those bad boys. Here's what Red Wings doing. So they got the location in Greeley.
Yep.
They got the location in Johnstown.
Yep.
They are giving away a free pair of boots, I think a $250 value, at each. So we're ultimately going to give away two pairs of boots. And this is not, listen, Red Wing, dude, these guys are cool. You're not going to go in there, not going to hassle you. You walk in, it's a KFKA sled. It just looks like a sled. It's Christmas time, folks. It's getting there. And all you got to do is walk in, no purchase necessary, sign your name, sign a way to contact you if you win, put it in the sled. And then when the time comes, they're going to shake the Christmas sled, or maybe we'll put it all into a bag, pull a name out of that. And so I would go register at both locations if you can.
Why wouldn't you?
It's free. I mean, you guys trust me by now. This is not a gimmick to get you in the door. It's a local business. Listen, Red Wing has a national brand, right? But it's these stores that we're talking about are locally owned and operated. Some great people. We've had them on the show before. They go to the same games as you. They go to UNC games. They go to CSU games. They go to Nuggets games. Love working with Red Wing. We want to keep doing that. Got to have the hooligans stop by, sign up, register for a free pair of boots at a $250 value. So you get to pick what you want. I mean, that's about how much mine were, I believe. And dude, I love them. It was like four. It was right when you started, I think.
It was down there. It was.
And I don't even know. I don't pay attention to brand. Like, I just know that these boots are legit.
Man. Oh, they're the highest quality.
Yeah.
And they offer a lifetime of service as well. You can bring them in anytime and get them cleaned.
Yeah.
I think you get new laces anytime you want. Break a lace, go bring it in. Free laces for life.
Free for life, yeah. It's sweet. I mean, so you go get them for free, and then you get them free after that. So they'll take care of you for life, man. I love it. I wear mine to, you know, I work, you know, sometimes I'm visiting clients, so I have to dress nice. They still work with that getup. They work if you're in jeans, if you're just wanting to work outside, too. They work no matter what. That's Red Wing. So stop by, sign up, and you're going to have until, I think, that midweek of December to get in there. So just make sure you're out and about, you drive by Red Wing, stop in there. 35 minutes after the hour, I'll load up some texts here. I want good text. Bring in some good text. You have an opportunity to win this thing. Somebody could win the Nuggets gift bag today. But when we come back, Colfax, it's Tuesday. I always recap the NFL week that was, so we're going to do that coming back. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to A1 Organics. Got your fall cleanups, or you want to divert your organics from the landfill. A1 Organics in Eaton is more affordable than the landfill, and you're choosing to protect the environment, so it's a win-win. A1 Organics, their number is 970-454-3492. And, of course, we had a great interview last week. We talked to one of the great workers over there at A1 Organics about this Command Compost, the professional-grade microbial compost. It'll restore the soil health for your lawn and athletic turf. So think about that as you're, you know, you're kind of going to that hibernation mode, but you're still thinking about when you can make that yard pop. You got to have it pop. And I put fertilizer on the yard last month, actually. So A1 Organics will help you through those processes, too. And your yard can pop like mine now, Colfax. It's very, very, even now, it's still a little green. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. More green than anyone's on the block. It's amazing. All right, Colfax, we got to get to it. You keep loading up your text, 31996, but we got to recap the NFL week that was. And it was an interesting week. It's the last 2 weeks, I feel like, have been trap weeks. You know, you got to survive these next 2 weeks, like the Steelers. It was kind of a trap week for them. But let's go through it. Obviously, Colfax, everybody knows this. I'm over 500 now, Thursday night special. It all started last week. I took the Packers, for crying out loud, to win and to cover. They win 34-17 over the 49ers. Now let's keep moving on. Broncos, Falcons, do we even have to go there? Yeah, they lost, folks. Offense, not good. This was an interesting one. Bills, Seahawks, Josh Allen, 31-38, 415 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the Bills win 44-34.
Josh Allen, end zone throw! That's going to be a Buffalo touchdown to Gabriel Davis.
Picture perfect once again for the Bills. Josh Allen trying to reach the end zone, and
and leaps in for a Buffalo Bills touchdown.
How about Josh Allen? Oh, could have had him. Could have had him, Colfax. But you got Bradley Chubb. Feeling good about that? I'm not necessarily feeling good about that today. How about Bears-Titans? This was also an interesting one. Bears drop now to 5-4. Nick Foles was okay, but man, they aired it out a lot. This is what's interesting with the Titans. Titans get their sixth win. Derrick Henry, 21 carries, 68 yards. Not a good game for Henry. For Phillip Lindsay or Melvin Gordon, the rate they're going, yeah, it's a pretty good game. Who's going to step up when Derrick Henry doesn't have a big game? And that the answer to that is A.J. Brown. 4 receptions for 101 yards and a touchdown and some great catches, 2 great plays. So, excellent work there. Titans move on. They get 6-2. Ravens, Colts. Lamar Jackson, 13 carries for 58 yards and a touchdown. It's just a normal thing now to see him run for over 50, over 60. Colts were, on one of those interceptions, Phillip Rivers tries to tackle. That's so funny. Watching guys like Rivers and Brady try to tackle players is hilarious. Ravens win 24-10. They move on to 6-2. Colts 5-3 right now. Chiefs, Panthers. Panthers gave the Chiefs a scare, but they won at the end of the day. Patrick Mahomes is my candidate right now to be MVP. Another huge game. 4 touchdowns, 372 yards. And, boy, just ridiculous. It was nice to see Christian McCaffrey back in the mix, though. He had 70 yards and a rushing touchdown. Lions, Vikings. Yeah, the Vikings. Tell you, they have the offensive player of the year. Dalvin Cook, 22 carries, 206 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the Vikings are 3-5. They whooped up on the Lions, 34-20. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're kind of coming back. I mean, Cousins threw 3 touchdowns. Could they make something out of this season? Giants, Washington football team. Well, the Giants, I mean, this was Daniel Jones didn't throw a touchdown pass, but Wayne Gallman did, and I picked him up on fantasy. It didn't do any good. I lost. 14 carries, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Giants found a way to win in a very bad division. Giants move up to get their second win of the season. Texans, Jags. I mean, I didn't watch this game. I didn't see a lot from this game. I just got to say that Jake Luton, who filled in, took over for Gardner. The stiff arm, the spin move into the end zone. It was absolutely beautiful. Not enough for them to win. The Texans get their second win of the season. Raiders, Chargers. Chargers got to be the most. If they have any fans at all, I know we have one of them here. I think they got 10 total fans. One of them works at KFKA, Clark Johnson. Chargers just find a way to lose. In this case, Justin Herbert almost completes the game-winning touchdown. Hell of a defensive back play, and they come up short again. Chargers are finding creative ways to lose. Steelers had a little bit of a scare, Colfax. They end up winning 24-19. Now they hear where they might be without Big Ben. Still, the Steelers remain undefeated.
Ebron hurdles home for the touchdown.
He jumped right over Savion Smith, and the Steelers have taken the lead. Has to get to the 49. It's 4th and 8. Hayward's on him. Hayward's not going to let him go. And Watt finishes it off. Garrett Gilbert. Will it be the play of his life? Steps up, throws to the end zone, and it's knocked down to the Steelers. Once again in the game, defending a pass in the end zone to stay unbeaten.
Tough to do, man. People say, well, they almost lost to the Cowboys. Are they really that good? It's tough. Your target's on your back. That changes everything if the Cowboys win that game. You're going to get every team's best from here on out. So that's why it's difficult for many reasons. Don't look now. The Miami Dolphins are 5-3. Tua Tagovailoa, 20 for 28, 248 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's a much better game than last week. Dolphins and Cardinals going at it. Key missed field goal by the Dolphins or by the Cardinals. And the Dolphins found a way to get the dub, 34-31, 5-3 on the season. And how about Sunday night? Wow. The Saints beat the Bucks 38-3. It was 31 at the half.
They send Kamara that way as well. It's 3rd down and 10. 4-man rush. Breeze hangs in the pocket, throws wide, wide open. He's inbounds is the question. Smith for the touchdown. Breeze again, great protection, throws, and that will be caught. That's Adam Troutman for the touchdown. So he goes to another guy.
Yeah, I mean, it was Bucks looked awful. They looked like the worst team in the NFL. How about Taysom Hill? Look at the stat line. 2 for 2 for 48 yards passing. Stepped in a little bit for Drew Brees. 7 carries for 54 yards. And he had a catch for 21 yards. I mean, the guy can do everything. And Eaton W's Jameis Winston completed a pass for 12 yards. The Bucks get the job done. And, oh yeah, there was a Monday night game last night. Patriots-Jets. Pats win 30-27. Cam Newton, it's been a little while. Is that right, McClain? 3 games since he's thrown a touchdown? Oof, that was bad. Well, that's putting a kibosh on the week that was. We now move on to week 10, and the Denver Broncos set their sights on the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, I got tons of texts here. We will crown a winner coming back. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It's been a weird Top Text Tuesday, a lot of fantastic interviews, but still, the show must go on. We must crown a winner. We'll do that next.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Eight minutes till the top of the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line 319-963-1996. Fun show today, man. It was great, again, to have first ballot Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher on the program, and we're going to have that interview for you a little bit later on. Chris Dempsey bringing it as he usually does, talking all things NBA, 72-game season. Season starting December 22nd. Got the draft next week. Free agency begins right after that. So just like that, man, we're heating right back up when it comes to the NBA and what will that Nuggets roster look like. Colfax, we got to crown a winner here. I like the Well County Swamis. I like that text. I tell you what, I haven't been living up to what I normally do, but I'm ready to make a better comeback than Brian Urlacher's hair. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. B-Rad is getting creative here today. The pack rolled on while the Chargers stumbled. Minnesota stays alive while my fantasy running backs love to fumble. Cam Newton was bailed out by several late flags while Browns fans are dusting off their bags. The Bills look tough, but what about the Broncos? When is it time for Elway's time to pass? Perhaps after another dismal draft class. I'm going B-Rad today, Colfax. I almost set off the off-air alarm. Whoa! You didn't know, man. You didn't know what was going on.
I thought you were
going
to change your mind last second.
You did. You were ready for it.
I was ready for it.
Well, County Swami was close. B-Rad comes in with the sonnet or whatever.
Yeah.
The poem. You know, and I'm not... I don't always go with that. You guys think I do, but I reward creativity. And if, you know, again, sometimes you guys try to get creative and it's just like, you know, you're hooligans. I don't expect that much from you. I really don't. But today, B-Rad came in and I like that.
Time and effort. You can see there's time and effort in
that. That's good. I can take that. I'm going to reward that. That's a good text. You know, I know you, the hooligans are going to freak out. Eastside Chris. Dude, you're going to get one. Just hang in there. Eastside Chris is a stud texter. I got to say this, though. His best texts, they come outside of Tuesday. They're like the rest of the week. We'll get there, Eastside Chris. All right, that's going to do it for us. Coming up next, we'll get to The Herd with Colin Cowherd. What is it, Tuesday? We got Inside the Bears Den after Tanner Schwint's No Code Now. So, again, live and local radio here, 1310 KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.